Hello and welcome to the Club Soda Podcast. This is Beyond Booze. My name is Noah Villeneuve and this is an upcoming season about curating choices in alcohol-free drinks in an alcocentric society. I'm here today with Drew Yeager to talk a bit more about the upcoming series.
I'm really, really excited about this, Noah, I have to say. Of all of the people in Club Soda, I'm actually least involved day-to-day with our work helping people discover drinks. You know, most of my work is about helping people change in different kinds of ways. So, you know, I'm kind of the voice of the listener in all of this because I actually don't know very much about this world. And I'm really excited about going on this journey of discovery and learning with you to discover more about all of these different types of drinks and the people who make them. So thanks for having me along for the ride.
I'm excited that you're excited, Drew.
It's awesome. Noah, for people who don't know you, because hopefully people heard the trailer last week, but so they may have, I've heard that voice before. But you're relatively new on the Club Soda scene. You joined us back in November last year.
October, give me some
October.
Credit,
October. Wow, is it 6 months?
Yeah.
Congrats. Awesome. For people who don't know you, could you talk a bit about the journey that brought you to Club Soda and the work that you're now doing in the tasting room and in Club Soda more widely?
Yeah, absolutely. We go back a while, you know, I've been working in hospitality and done stints in retail and the music industry over the last kind of 15 years. So it's been a checkered CV of all sorts of bits and pieces. I cut my teeth in hospitality by serving milkshakes when I was in college. Awesome. And then I moved into a kind of sticky floor music venue, old school boozer, you know, pouring pints of ale and ciders for grumpy old men in Bristol. And then I went and did a degree in music and songwriting. And after that, I ended up doing some tour managing and working in the music industry for a few years. That lent itself to a certain lifestyle, mm-hmm. I'd say.
Yeah.
Things got a little debaucherous. It was a little kid in a candy store a few years for me.
I think people might imagine what that was like.
Mm-hmm. Following leaving the music industry, I jumped into the cocktail world. The alcohol world and worked my way up the ranks. I was curating menus and creating cocktails for brands, and I was working for a chain that had over 30 bars in the UK. I was traveling around opening sites, training up teams of, you know, 10 to 20 bartenders, working in, you know, the classic hospitality kind of dream, really. I was just having a really good time, but also a really boozy time. And we kind of fast forward to COVID, where I got more interested in food and wine and kind of shifted over to the wine world, did my WSET qualifications, became a sommelier, and then started running wine bars in Bristol, curating wine menus for some of the best Italian restaurants in Bristol. And then, to cut a very, very long story short, that I'm sure one day we'll tell the longer version, is, you know, in April 2022, everything came to a head and I decided to stop drinking and I got sober. And I actually continued managing the wine bar for the first 3 months of my sobriety, kind of white knuckling it, to be honest, and got to the end of that and said I need to take a break. I took a few months out, went and traveled Canada and America. I'm from Canada originally, got lots of family out there. So just took a breather to figure out what my next steps were. And then I'd always wanted to move to London, so I knew that was probably going to be the next step. I came back to the UK and started looking around at what I could do in London. I spoke to many restaurants and bars and kind of did trial shifts here and there, but nothing was quite clicking. There was a little bit of friction around my sobriety and not enough trust, which mm-hmm. didn't instill enough confidence in me to be able to work for an employer who didn't have complete trust in my decisions. And then it was actually the night before a trial shift elsewhere. I jumped on LinkedIn completely randomly, and my friend Anita, who we love, she's from Liars.
Love Anita.
She had liked a job advertisement on LinkedIn, and that was for the opening of the Club Soda tasting rooms.
Amazing.
And I looked at the application, and then that's all I could think about. I just didn't even want to do the trial shift the next day. I was like, this is amazing. This is exactly what I want to do. This is like sent from the heavens. Like I have to do this. This seems incredible. So I applied, sent you guys an email straight away. And then I was on the phone to Josh the following day. And fast forward a few weeks later, I was lucky enough to get the job. And it was a crazy first few months, really. We were mm-hmm. all just, we opened at the end of November, so we jumped straight into Christmas time, followed by dry January. So it was a full on few months, and we were all kind of just figuring it out as we went.
Yeah, and we still are figuring things out.
That's sure, yeah. But now we're a little, more seated in our roles. What I do. Mm-hmm. Generally, as I, I'm an assistant manager in the shop. I look after most things on the bar, all things liquids. So I write our cocktail menus, and I help curate our lists of, what is behind the bar, wines wise, beers wise, sparkling, kombucha, et cetera, et cetera. And I do this podcast now. Mm-hmm. I help run Talk Club, which is yep. a male mental health talking group that we do on the first Wednesday of every month in the tasting room. I do all sorts, we all wear a lot of hats in the tasting rooms, but I just help things along day yeah. by day.
Yeah, well, I, for one, am incredibly glad that our opportunity met your life path at the moment that it did, because you have, you've worked incredibly hard to elevate the in-house drinking experience at the tasting room and make it a real destination venue. One of the most extraordinary things is, I live at the other end of the country, so I don't actually get to see you at work, in your place of work very often. We're recording this remotely. But when I am there, and then people wander in and they say, where have you come from? Oh, we've traveled from Baltimore. We have, I'm here on vacation from California. I've come over from Australia, and this is the place that I wanted to come. That is an extraordinary thing to have that kind of draw, that people want to come and spend time with us. And the drinks that you provide are very, very much part of that experience. So thank you for what you do.
My pleasure. It's a beautiful thing. The alcohol-free cocktail game needs to be elevated, and I'm just happy to be able to play a role in that in London and in the UK.
Awesome. So tell us about Beyond Booze. What is this whole thing about? What are we doing here?
Beyond Booze is, an idea I came up with a few months ago to have a series on our podcast that is a little more drinks-focused, is a little more kind of delving deeper into some of the liquids that we sell in the tasting room and the brands that we work with. It's sitting down with founders and CEOs of drink brands and finding out their backstory, what led to the inception of the brand, their journey in the alcohol-free categories, their personal story, their brand story, some of the hardships they come up against. Some of the, we learn a lot about amazing cocktail serves that we can use in these ingredients. I wanted to shout about some incredible bartenders doing amazing things in bars, not only in London, but internationally. Some amazing things you can do at home with the cocktails, tips and tricks from some incredible bartenders from around the world that I was lucky enough to be able to speak with. It's just kind of all thing, Beyond Booze does encapsulate it. It's a lot of different subjects, but I'm talking to people in the alcohol-free industry that do many different roles and have different responsibilities, whether they're influential bartenders, or like I said, CEOs, the people who actually make the liquids themselves. And it's just a real versatile group of people telling their stories.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's really exciting for anyone in the Club Soda audience listening to this to go on this journey with us over the next few months. One of the things which I've learned over the past few years of working in Club Soda is that developing some passion and interest in alcohol-free really motivates me to continue. You know, when I was drinking a lot more than I drink now, I really totally took alcohol for granted. Like, you know, if it was lager in a pint, if it was, I'm ashamed to say, 3-for-2 Pinot Grigio from Sainsbury's, you know, I was never a classy drinker. I really wasn't that interested in where wine was grown. I didn't care about how beer was made. I have learned so much about drinks since working in Club Soda. And that actually keeps me really excited and interested because there's always something new to discover. That's an amazing thing about this whole endeavor, really.
It's really cool that, you know, we can have all listeners of all kind of knowledge levels. That was the idea as well, is that this is engaging people who know nothing about the category to, you know, experts in the category. It's a listenable experience for people to learn about things. But if you know a bit about the category, you're still going to pick things up. And it's, yeah, there's some really cool things to learn about these brands during this series, for sure.
Yeah, and worth saying as well, you know, at the end of each episode, Noah and I will have a bit of a chat, and I will sometimes ask catastrophically stupid questions.
Yes, it's part and parcel of our relationship, Drew.
It really, really is. And I will be desperately rude about things in ways which upset you. And, you know, it's all good. It all comes out of the wash. We'll talk about Liltgate in a few episodes' time.
And what influence Jaffa Cakes have on your experience of orangey drinks?
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, I realized in our conversation that I mostly like Jaffa Cakes because they're cake, not because they taste of orange, because I actually really don't like oranges.
Jaffa Cakes, cake or biscuit?
It's a cake. Go on, present the counter argument for why it's a biscuit.
No, I have no counter argument. Okay. For the listeners, the furrowed brow of Drew Yeager was quite mighty upon that question.
Let me explain the rationale. Cakes and biscuits act very differently when they're exposed to air. Cakes get harder, biscuits get softer. If you leave a Jaffa cake out, though I don't know who had a Jaffa cake that they left out uneaten for this to happen. I don't understand that. But somebody once left the Jaffa cake out for long enough that it dried and became hard. Hence, it's a cake. It is not a biscuit.
It is an insightful piece of information, to be fair. It is a very good point. But leaving a Jaffa cake out to get hard is similar to kind of the concept of put the wine back in the fridge overnight kind of mentality of, I've never been able to understand that. That was never how I was able to do things.
No. In fact, my definition of middle class used to be somebody who can have a bottle of wine unopened in their house overnight.
Baffling concept.
I know, totally, totally. Anyway, tell us about some of the people who are coming up over the next... Well, actually, this is turning into like... 3 months we're going to be on this journey because the number of episodes has grown and grown and grown. We're at this for listeners until June, so strap in.
yeah, get ready for the ride. We've got some incredible guests. I mean, we talked to Lucky Saint, you know, one of the biggest and best alcohol-free beers based in London. I speak to Luke and Emma from Lucky Saint. I speak to Dash Lily, one of the co-founders of Three Spirits, one of the coolest and amazing mood-enhancing spirits. I sit down with Amanda Thompson from Thompson and Scott, single-handedly, you know, changing the alcohol-free wine game. I speak to one of my personal heroes, Derek Brown, over in America, legendary Washington, D.C., bartender and author and wellness coach. You know, other brands like All the Bitter, Real Sparkling Tea. Calenio, LA Brewery, Wilfred's, New London Light. Oh, the list goes on. There's some amazing people and some very special guests towards the end of the series that we will reveal a bit later on. But I'm excited for episode one, especially. He's a wonderful, dear friend of ours and bartender extraordinaire and wellness. Amazing lady, Camille Vidal, for episode one.
Yeah, it's really exciting. The thing which I'm actually genuinely excited about, and again, this is, I think, just an important part of this education piece around discovering alcohol-free, is that we've got an incredible variety of drinks represented in this conversation over the next few months. You know, if you think that your option is alcohol-free beer, and we love Lucky Saint, it is excellent, excellent lager. But if you've narrowed your focus to, I can only have alcohol-free beer, or I can only have alcohol-free wine, or I'm just looking for an alcohol-free gin, if that's the sum total of your thinking right now, I think these conversations are actually going to be really quite mind-blowing about the different types of drinking experiences that you can have alcohol-free, and really kind of transporting experiences which aren't based on the alcohol content, but the other ingredients and the incredible experiences which are put into glasses by people. I'm very excited. I may have said that already.
Yeah, for sure. We talk about not only the versatility of the specific brand of each episode, but, you know, we talk about multiple brands in each episode. It's a quite a supportive community as well. So you'll hear certain founders recommending some of their favorite brands and some of the bartenders and what spirits they love to work with. You know, I speak to Davide Sagat from the Nomad Hotel, who I think are doing some of the best alcohol-free cocktails in London. You know, there's some superb recommendations to be had and products for people to discover from across the board. There's, yeah, lots to get your teeth stuck into.
Definitely. So the Beyond Booze podcast series is going to be out every Tuesday morning for the next 3 months. We've got 12 episodes at least coming
at
up.
At least.
Some exciting things cooking in the background that may skew our schedule a little when we get towards it, but we'll see. But definitely we've got 12 episodes coming your way, maybe a few more. So do subscribe to the Club Soda podcast to make sure that you don't miss any of those. If you want information about the guests that we're talking to, the drinks that they're talking about, places that they recommend, during the series, we are going to be compiling a page on the Club Soda website, joinclubsoda.com/beyondbooze, where you're going to be able to listen to all of the back episodes, get more information about the producers, discover links to things in their world, all sorts of stuff, useful information. We're going to pile into that. So hopefully that really enriches your experience as we go through this season.
Don't forget to follow and subscribe. And, you know, I'm really excited for everyone to hear it and come on the Beyond Booze journey.
Excellent. Cool. So, as we've said, do like and subscribe. Do share and rate this podcast on whatever platform you're on. It really helps other people find us and get excited about alcohol-free drinks. Follow us at Join Club Soda across social media. We're joinclubsoda.com for everything else. If you happen to be in London, if you want to come chat to Noah in person, swing by our tasting room at 39 Drury Lane, just on the edge of Covent Garden. We would love to see you. And let's look forward to catching up with you and bringing you the wonderful Camille Vidal this time next week. Cheers.
Nice one. Cheers.